Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Matthew 11:28 in the Message, man, you're going to feel probably a load lift just listening to this. You can follow along on the screen. These are Jesus' words, and he says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest." Everyone say real rest. Real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. And listen to this part. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. And Psalm 62, 1 and 2 in the Message. God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I need comes from him, so why not? He's solid rock under my feet, and look at this, breathing room for my soul. He's an impregnable castle. I'm set for life. How good is that? Why don't we pray? Can you put your hand over your heart? Say, Jesus, my heart is open. Put your hand on your head. Say, Jesus, anoint my thoughts. Open my understanding to hear your word and encounter you today. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat. Well, it is a brand new year. Oh, so good. How many of you have already started any New Year's practices? Anybody get started? A few hands. Anybody going to the gym for the first time or maybe the 10th time? 10th year in a row, January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, whatever it is. How many of you got, maybe you got plans to start. Maybe you've already started writing down goals. Maybe you are like a one word for the whole year person instead of a resolution person. And so maybe you're just even in the thinking about it. How many of you are in the thinking about it stage? Thinking about maybe I should do something different this year. Well, if you haven't got your phones out already, the QR code is going to come up. We're going to do a survey. What new, and hopefully the QR code is, I don't see it on the screen. Oh, there it is on that screen. Okay, I'm looking at the back. But here's the question. What new resolutions or practices are you starting or you want to or you're kind of thinking about starting in this new year? Write them down and we're going to see them on the word cloud. Oh, there they are. And I can't read that far in the back, so I'm just going to turn around. You're going to see the back of my head. Oh, I don't get a seat on the back of my head. Well, I don't even get to see what the cloud is. So there we go. Oh! Glorify Christ. Bible before food. Oh, that's a good one. None. Working out. Very honest. A for honesty. Focusing on health. Good health. Self-care. On time to church. Oh, that's a good one. Better sleep habits. Journaling. Prayer journal. Read the whole Bible. Balance. Workout. Finally. I like that one. All these ones. Oh, look at. There's a lot. See, the more people. There's a lot of people with nuns because the bigger they are, that's more people they are. Health is winning, good health, self-real journey, and none. Well, there we go. Everything else is shrinking really small. Why does it do that? There's a whole bunch of space. Okay, we'll shut the word cloud off. I don't know if you guys can see that on your phone, but that didn't work as I thought it would. Anyway, our new series, Breathing Room. Everyone say Breathing Room. Breathing room. We can take that word cloud off. I'm so sad that it's so small because I really like reading those. Maybe we'll take a screenshot and post it. Breathing room. Creating space for God. Everyone say creating space for God. Over this next couple weeks, we are going to be exploring and inviting you to participate in spiritual practices that create breathing room for your soul. Now, if you're new to spiritual practices, some of you, this might be a new thing. How many of you, that is a new thought, new idea? I've never heard of that new concept. Maybe you're like, I don't want to raise my hand, but it's new. But if you're new to this concept of spiritual practices, it's habits. It's spiritual habits that can be daily, weekly, monthly, maybe even seasonally, that are meant to tune us into the frequency of God. That's what their purpose is. They're meant to tune us in to the frequency of God, to create space, or habitat, help us create space for God to work in our life, to work, to heal, to strengthen, and to bring growth in our life. Now, explain that a little bit more. Why do we need spiritual practices? Well, one of the main reasons is because Jesus modeled this. If you look at the life and story of Jesus, specifically in the Gospels, you frequently see Jesus, like, taking himself away from the crowds to go, it says, to go spend time with his Father. He was regularly seeking out God the Father in prayer. Now, sometimes you kind of go, well, how does that work? If Jesus is God, how did he, like, talk to God the Father? Like, was he talking to himself or what? I don't know how the whole Trinity thing works. But frequently we saw Jesus, he was withdrawing from the crowds to spend alone time with the Father, to be replenished. We see him engaging in scripture. We see him serving. We see him practicing Sabbath. We see him practicing generosity. And so Jesus modeled spiritual practices for us. But another important reason for us is that the new creation life, when you receive Christ, when you say yes to following Jesus, when you become what the Bible describes as being born again, some people use the language, I got saved. That's a new creation life that gets started in you. And we receive something. Salvation is a gift. This new creation life, this being reborn, it's a gift. There's nothing we do to earn it. It is a gift. Jesus offers it. But it needs to be developed in us. So when we really surrender, when we surrender our life, Jesus, I need you, I want you, we are born reborn in a moment. But then there's a big Bible word called sanctification. It's simply, that word is a word that describes the refining process by which God then works on us to transform us to more and more become the image bearer reflecting him that we were created to be. And that process takes time. Everyone say time. Time. So we receive this gift from Jesus in an instant, in a moment we are reborn. And how many of you can actually say you remember what that was like? Some of you, it was this more moment zing. It was like boom, and you're just like, oh, I know something changed. Others, it was kind of like a slow burn. It was like something, it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I said yes to that Jesus thing, and like over time, you notice something changed. In a moment, you are forgiven. In a moment, you are given a brand new start in life through Jesus Christ. In a moment, the Bible says that God takes our sins, he casts them into the sea, and he never remembers them anymore. As far as the east is from the west, the psalmist said, God has removed our sin, our failings from us. That happens in a moment, but the refining, transforming takes place over time. And some of us, it's a longer, intense time than others. See, we can't transform ourselves. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 in the Voice translation, Paul describes it this way. He says, now that you have welcomed the anointed one, Jesus the Lord, into your lives, continue to journey with him and allow him. There's a key right there. Everyone say allow him. Allow him to shape your lives. Let your roots grow down deeply in him, and let him build you up on a firm foundation. Be strong in the faith, just as you were taught, and always spill over with thankfulness. And that keyword, that phrase right there, allow him to shape your lives. See, we can't reshape ourselves any more than a broken pot can fix itself. And that's what Paul describes us as. We're like broken pots. I'm going to say I'm a broken pot. You were a broken pot. But see, God was the one who first made us into an image bearer, made to reflect His glory, made to reflect His character, made to reflect all that He is into the world around us. That was why we were created, why God made humanity, was to be His image bearers. God made us as a reflection of Him, but when humanity chose to kind of rule and do life their own way, that image became marred. It never totally went away. It became broken and distorted. And we can't remake ourselves. The God who originally made us, He's the only one that can reshape us so that we can again be actually reflecting what a true human is meant to reflect, what a true human is meant to be like, what a true human is meant to, how we're meant to live. And that true human that showed the way was Jesus. And that's the goal that God has for every single one of us. What if you're trying to find your purpose in life? You know what it is? It's to reflect Jesus. It's not to have a specific career, working in a specific skill set that you have, or fulfilling some deep-seated desire that you might have. God puts those things in us, but you can fulfill the purpose of God in whatever work, create, work or environment you're in. You're meant to be an image bearer. Everyone say, I was meant to be an image bearer. See, only God can remake us. Our role is to cooperate. How well do you cooperate? You know, remember in kindergarten or grade one when you get those little, you know, they try to have those character awards, you know, I cooperate. A for cooperation. You cooperate really well. Some of us don't. But our role then, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, following Jesus is about learning how to cooperate with the work that God's Spirit is doing in us. Look back at the Colossians verse. Look at those verses again. Look at the words again. Look at all the words. Allow Him. Allow Him to shape your life. Let your roots go down. In other words, your roots are going to grow down deep into Jesus if we're working, if we're cooperating with Him. We don't have to make our roots go down. All we need to do is let them go down. And so spiritual practices, some of them are about removing the stuff that gets in the way of our roots going down deep in Jesus. Let Him build you up on a firm foundation. Be strong in the faith. All these words, allow, let, be. And see, these spiritual practices, things like reading scripture, things like prayer, things like worship, there's so many of them. We're only going to go over a few of them over the next couple weeks. The spiritual practice, this is what they do. They bring us into cooperation with what God wants to do to transform us. It becomes less about do, and more about, okay, God, how can I cooperate with You? And another reason why spiritual practices are so important, here's the reality. This is the reality of life we are in. We are being formed by culture. You are being formed by the culture of the world that you live in. We need countercultural habits. See, even as Jesus' followers, our default is still the culture and the habits of this world. Yes? How many of you can admit that? Over the holidays, maybe some things you hadn't planned on doing, some things you're like, I'm kind of ashamed about that, or some things I kind of feel guilty about, some stuff's like, why do I keep going back to those stupid habits? Why do I keep doing those things? I know, they're just not helpful, not beneficial. I know they're not, I don't want to do those things. Why do we keep doing that? It's because our default is the culture of this world. And we default, in Romans 12, 2, Eugene Peterson in The Message, he describes it this way. He says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. And see, unless we are intentional about building and using and working in other habits, countercultural habits, spiritual practices, unless we're intentional about doing this, we will default to the culture of the world around us. And some of you know what this feels like. Because following Jesus, since you said yes to following Jesus, it feels like life's gotten harder. It feels like things have gotten worse in some way. And you're like, what the hell is this? I thought it was supposed to be better. What's going on? It's because there's this tension, there's this other mold of the world trying to squeeze you, or you were squeezed into it, and now it's like this reshaping that the Holy Spirit is trying to do from the inside out, so that we're actually shaped in the right way that God created us to be. And so we need spiritual practices, and what they do, they more like bend us towards God. They bend us, they help us be more aware of God's presence. God's presence is with you every day. God's peace is there every day. Now, do we feel it every day? No. God is there flooding our lives with hope, but we don't experience it every day. God is there every day flooding our lives with joy, flooding our lives with a contentment, flooding our lives with a confident security. Do we feel that way every day, every moment as believers? No. It's because we've been bent in a certain way for so long. And God is graciously bending us in the direction, and these spiritual practices are a way that we become more awake. God actually is with me. Spiritual practices aren't the way that we earn God's favor. They're not the way that we experience salvation. They're the way that we experience and we cooperate with God's work in us to transform us. Got it? Awesome. So here we go. What is the first practice we're going to talk about? Well, it's a great one to start the new year with. Scripture. How many of you actually have a physical Bible with you? Anybody? Some of you are wondering, like, how come you don't ever read from a Bible? You rarely read from a Bible. It's because I like using different versions, and they're all here, and it's way easier than having like four versions that I have to pick up and try to go through. But Scripture. How many of you find Scripture reading, it's actually very challenging? Just be honest. Okay, that's good. Honesty is so wonderful. That's good. I think something's going to tweak this year, that this is going to be a new year for you. You know, this book, for me personally, this book has been a lifeline for me almost my entire life. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm a pastor's kid, but I was not a pastor's kid who followed Jesus from my early years on. I was a be good so you don't go to hell pastor's kid. But there was nothing real about Jesus. It was like a mental thing. But from a very young age, man, my dad instilled, you better read your Bible. You better read your Bible. And as a good Catholic kid, you do it or else, because works is how you earn God's favor and love and protection. That's what you do. But even from a young age, I remember my dad, I was going to try to dig it out, and I didn't have enough time. I wanted to dig out my original Bible, because I have it. It was a little Bible. It was a Living Bible. Some of you might know it. And on the one side, it was like a picture of Jesus, the good shepherd holding the sheep. And on the other side, it was kind of green. Anybody know what that? Everybody see that? Some of you know. It was a good Bible from the 70s. But you know, this book, I remember reading it almost every day of my life when I learned how to read. I was not a Jesus follower. It was a habit my dad instilled in us kids, and only because I saw my dad reading his Bible every day. Parents, there is something about instilling habits in your kids. They do not, they stick with your kids, even when they don't look like it's having much effect. Because I would read this book almost every day in my partying days. I would be half hammered, and I would read my Bible, because I was scared if I died that night, I might end up in the wrong place. But I remember reading this. I remember pouring over. I remember reading it and thinking, yeah, I don't know, whatever. It kind of applies. I remember reading it and being confused most of the time. I remember reading it. Sometimes it'd be like, oh, that's very special and sweet. I remember reading it, and it was in one of these routine mornings when I was about 20 years old. I had opened my Bible up. I was reading in a devotional. It was my roommate's devotional. I grabbed it, and I read it, and I remember I was reading Jeremiah 29:13. And I remember it was like God hit me. It was like one of those zingers. And again, I was not following Jesus. I had ideas about him. I kind of had a love, but I was not following Jesus. And I remember reading Isaiah 29:13, and it says this, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you." And in an instant, I heard God so clearly speak to me, "You're not seeking me with all your heart. That's why you're so frustrated and miserable." And all of a sudden the heavens opened and Jesus came down and I was gloriously saved from that point on. No. Took about another year. But I will never forget that day. This book literally saved, this book has saved my life. When I read this book, I experience God's presence. I experience his closeness. I can hear his voice, not audibly, but I hear it in my heart. I hear it. Stuff comes alive. I've experienced, this book makes me laugh. It is one of the only things that makes me cry. You can ask my family. I don't cry easily. But worship and reading the Bible. I read this book and I feel this zing. I like to call it the zing of revelation. How many of you experience that? It's where it's like, boom. It's like you can read a verse and it's like something that didn't make sense all of a sudden. And you read it, it's just like, boom, the light goes on. And you're like, oh my gosh, that just, how did I not see that every other 50 times I've read this thing? It's like, boom, it's there. And you're just like, oh, I love this book. I do. This book gives me strength. It calms the storm inside of me. It brings me hope when the storm is going on around me. It's where I go when I need strength. It strengthens me. It brings focus. It brings direction. It makes sense of stuff in the world that nobody else can make sense of. And it reminds me that my life is not just this random thing, and I'm trying to go on this path, but my life is part of a bigger story. And I think that story narrative dynamic, that's only come alive for me in the last maybe 10, 15 years of understanding how many years I piecemealed this book and chopped it up with the verse here and chopped it up. There was nothing wrong and read this and this is good and this is good. This is good knowledge. This is good understanding. But when I got a picture and an understanding of this is one story and it's the story that God is telling about his relentless pursuit to try to come and get us back. It'll change how you read this book. This is not a rule book. This is not the manual for life. This is a story of reality, the true reality of how life will flourish when you get this book in you and not just as a mental thing in your head. See, the Bible was written not just for knowledge. It's about knowing. And the word knowing in Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, Old Testament as well, it's a very specific word. It's a word that means a deep intimacy with it, knowing, to know someone in a biblical sense. How many of you have heard that phrase? It means sexual intercourse. There is an intimacy. There is a knowing of God. No, we don't have sex with God. For some of you, you're trying to, you know, what does that mean? It's like, no, that's not what we're having. But there is a deep, intimate knowing. I have to say that for, sorry, Melissa. I'm sure somebody had that thought. What? I don't understand all that word. I love what someone said. They said, the Bible is God's heart written down. That's what it is. Some of you were growing up being taught that this was a rule book, this is a manual for life. That's an inaccurate description of what this book is. Yes, it gives wisdom on how to live, but it's wisdom on how life works best. Not a way to get God's favor. Not a way to get God to love you more. This is God's love and expression written down for you. Your life will be transformed if you develop the consistent practice of engaging with God in his word. I love how 2 Timothy 3:16 in the Passion words it. It says, God has transmitted his very substance into every scripture, for it is God-breathed. John Mark Comer explains, he said, you become what you give your mind to. For millennia, followers of Jesus have immersed their minds in scripture, not just to gather data. The goal of reading scripture is not information, but spiritual formation. The goal of reading scripture is to take on the mind of Christ, to actually think as Jesus thinks, to fill your mind with the thoughts of God so regularly and deeply that it literally rewires your brain and from there your whole person. You cannot become transformed without this in some aspect of your life. We need God's word. Jesus, what's really interesting, the very first words spoken by him as he entered ministry was in his time in the desert when the enemy came to tempt him. Jesus has said, we have a recording of one or two other things, but this is the first words of his ministry. And he said, man will not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from God's mouth. God wants to speak to you through his word. So, here's some very practicals. Here we go. Now, I'm going to use the word read a lot because I believe there is something in there that is very powerful. I recognize some people have a hard time reading. So where I'm talking about read, just substitute listen. One of the beautiful things about today is you can get the Bible on audio. So if you honestly have a hard time reading, you can't focus. I know some people genuinely do. Listen to it. But listen to it intentionally, not while you're just, chopping wood or making supper or something. I don't know why I thought of chopping wood. Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. Number one, read it. Just read it. Everyone say read it. Read it. Get a translation you can read, understand, and will do. If someone has told you you need X translation or X version of the Bible because it's the most accurate one, but you don't read it and you barely understand it, get a new translation. Forget, if you're just getting started, forget about, is this the accurate translation? How close is this to the original translation? Is this a word for word, or is this a dynamic, or is this in between? Who cares? Unless you're going to be a Bible scholar and you're studying it, and I need to have that information because I need to make sure I'm teaching you the right stuff. But if you're just reading, you're just getting started, get a Bible that you will read and listen and understand. Listen to a version that makes sense. And if you can't stand the person's voice who's saying it, get a different audio version. The goal is life transformation. That's the goal. These are God's words speaking to us. Number two, read it first. Everyone say first. I love the person said scripture before food. That's good. A really good practice is scripture before tech. And the reason for this, there's one, it's a science reason. Neurologically, if you start with tech first thing in the morning, this is neurological science. They've proven it. I show you the articles. Your mind is bent in a negative disposition for the rest of the day. That's just, I don't care what you're reading on tech. Your brain is going in a negative direction when you start with tech, social media, all of that, flipping around on games. It sets your brain in a negative bent all day. But the spiritual side, we go about our day, again, back squeezed by a culture. We live in a very strong cultural current that is not bent towards God and his ways, that is actually anti. And so we're living in this culture that isn't Christ-centered. It's easy to get formed in that very quickly. We drift very easily. And when you get scripture first, it's like resetting. It's like a reset for your soul that sets you to true north. It's like a compass. A compass needs to be set. When it's set correctly, it's true north. And that's what reading God's word first in the morning, it sets your mind. It sets your emotions. It begins to set your thoughts on a true north. Now, are you going to see this instantly if you've not practiced this before? No, it's a practice. It takes time to develop. We need a daily reset to get back to the right path to remind us of what the true story of our life is. Here's another one. Number three, read it right. Everyone say right. Read it right. I love this quote. This is from Dead Soul Poetry. 2,000 years from now, people will not understand the difference between butt dial and booty call. And that is exactly why the Bible is hard to understand. Isn't that great? How many of you have read stuff? It's like, this does not make sense. What is going on? Well, there's a lot of cultural things in the Bible when you start digging into it. It's like, what does that mean? I don't understand. That's why. But just because the Bible, there's parts that are hard to understand, but not everything is. And just because some parts are, doesn't mean we throw the whole thing away. They're layers. There's layers of understanding. There's layers that you can dig. I remember one of the coolest things when I was in Bible school. One of our teachers, he was an old missionary guy. He'd been in ministry for 50 years, and I think he was like 70 when he said this. He goes, "I was reading Psalms the other day, and I saw something I've never seen before." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you've been reading your Bible like probably for 70 years, and you just saw something new." That's the beauty of the Bible. But just because it's confusing doesn't mean we just throw it away as why bother. The scripture is telling one big story. The Bible, listen to this, Tim Mackey, Bible Project guys, the Bible doesn't exist to answer our theological questions. The Bible exists to tell us a story about what God is doing about the problem of evil, sin, and death in our world, and what God is doing through Jesus about it. And if it happens to answer some of our questions that we come to the Bible with, wonderful. But that's not its intention. The Bible is meant to tell the story of God, the problem in the world of brokenness and our broken and our part in it, and what God has done and is doing to fix and heal. And he writes, he says, Christianity isn't about how we as sinners, or how do we sinners that we are, get to be with God, but how does God in his love and grace get to live with us sinners that we are? See, this is a story that scripture is revealing. Every other religion, every other faith has been about a God, humanity trying to make their way to God, trying to do things to get to God. But this story is the only story revealing a God who moved heaven and earth literally to come and be through us. And this is how we read. You want to make sense of the Old Testament, it's a story. It's a story of humans that are so broken and have, I love it. If you want a new version to read, there's a great version on YouVersion. It's a newer version. It's called the First Nations Version New Testament. And I love the description in it. It describes sin in the way of our bad heart and broken ways. And see, the story is telling how God is coming over and over. He over and over was trying to find ways to be with humans in our broken hearts and our bad ways. This is what God was trying to do. This is what the Old Testament is all about. It's God trying to find a way to be with us. The whole story is about that. Read it relationally. Scripture is meant to be relational. Bible reading and Bible study means nothing if you're not growing to know Jesus more and falling more in love with him and allowing the love of God to love through you. See, practices, you know, there is something unique and very important about when we talk about spiritual practices. The emphasis is on the practices. I don't know if you've ever played sports. What did you do? What did you do in practice when you missed a shot? Missed a serve, missed a goal. Like, what did you do? Did you walk off the court or off the ice and, oh, heck with it, I'm terrible? No. You tried again. Some of you maybe never made a whole free throw the whole practice. Some of you, if you were like me in volleyball, never made a serve over the net the entire practice. Maybe you never make a shot the entire practice, but what happened? You come back to practice the next day? Yes, and sometimes you practice even more. And it's the same with spiritual practices. You know, when we find, oh man, we are on a good streak and I read, and then all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks, it's like, oh man, I totally forgot. Or you flip on your phone and you read it before you read your Bible. You know what? The enemy's really good. He's really good for coming and saying, you are so pathetic. You can't even stick to it for a month. You can't even stick to it a week. You think this is going to work this time? That is the enemy's lie. It's practice. Everyone say practice. You do it again. You do it again. So this is two ways that you can make this really practical. How do you start? Well, there is a link in the notes, and there will also be, I'm pretty sure the link is in the notes, for the online devotional that we're starting. We're reading together. If you would love to join us, jump on and read with us. Sometimes when you know you're reading with others, this is a week. It's just 1 week. We made it easy to start. I think it's the book of James we're going through. Yes. And you can read it with others, you can comment if you want, or you can listen and but jump into it, or maybe you have your own devotional that you've already started. One thing I love to do, I love to read a new version. Try to read a different version every year. Another thing that you can do is jump on our Journey app. You'll find it on the City Life app under the More section, and it's called the Journey. Go to a section called Abide. I believe there's a link in there as well in the notes where it'll tell you a little bit more about spiritual practices. In fact, if you have not gone through the Journey yet, I encourage you, go through it with your partner, go through it with your husband, go through it with your kids, go through it with your friends, go through the Journey app. This is another great practice to engage in because it's a whole bunch of different practices to how to help us cooperate with what God is doing in us in his transforming work. Let's stand, church, and I want to pray. Let's close our eyes. I want to give an opportunity for the most incredible gift exchange you will ever experience in your life. And online, if you're watching, this is for you as well. And it's a gift exchange of recognizing if you are not in a relationship with Jesus. This is a great day, man. First Sunday of a brand new year. It's only 5 days in, so it's early. But what a great time to make a commitment, or maybe make a recommitment. Jesus, I want to follow you. Here's my life. And in exchange, receive all that he is. Receive salvation. Receive his forgiveness. Receive a sense of security and confidence of who you are in Jesus. Let Jesus come in and make you brand new. And church, I want to invite us. Let's pray this prayer. It's a prayer together saying, just giving words to how do we follow Jesus. Say, Jesus, thank you for everything you've done to save me, to rescue me, to forgive me, to make it possible for a brand new beginning. I say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Here's my life. Would you take it? And I receive you, your life. Would you fill me and make me new? Thank you, Jesus, for a brand new start. Amen. Amen. God, thank you. Yes. Come on, let's give God praise. God, thank you. God, I thank you that you're touching hearts, Father, not only in this room, but online. And church, can we put our hands over our heart and let's pray this prayer together? You know, I know the idea of spiritual practices. I know some are in the room saying, I don't know if I can do that. It kind of sounds like religious. It's not religious. Just think of, man, our soul is so bent in the wrong direction. It's how we cooperate. We will never be able to bend ourselves in the right direction. We will never be able to remake ourselves. You will never be able to quit that thing. You will never be able to do this on your own. It's the work of God's Spirit that does the reshaping. And it starts with our cooperation. And that's all these practices are ways to help us cooperate with the work God's doing. So just pray to say, Jesus, would you create in me the desire and the will to do what honors you? Thank you.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.